There are two things that are absolutely true. Grandma loves you, and she would never say no to McDonald's. So treat yourself to a Grandma McFlurry with your order today. It's what Grandma would want. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
It's the South Florida Morning Show with Jennifer Ross and Bill Adams on News Talk 850 WFTL.
Wow. Semis overturned up here.
Hey, let's get up to the sky real quick. I got the med kit in the car if you need it. Put it on your hazard right now.
You guys will help.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh my God. Yeah,
he's okay.
Just some of the footage out there. There's a lot of it, and it's all crazy from these tornadoes over the weekend in Nebraska, mostly. Horrifying.
What's even more horrifying to me is these crazy people who film all of these things.
Like them.
Like those guys. Some of them are storm chasers. We understand that. And if you saw the movie Twister, you know all about them. But these other are just these other videos of just of normal people, and they're driving down the highway, and you see a tornado literally going across, I mean, a massive tornado, going across the highway in front of you. My first reaction would be stop and figure out how the heck to turn around.
Yeah, there's that. Right, exactly.
Not these people.
Should be
they,
first thought.
They keep driving toward it. I'm like, what if it turns around and comes back? You don't know where it's going.
And the thing I haven't heard, I'm sure they know how much warning they got ahead of this time, but I saw plenty of weather people posting stuff, including Weather Channel folks. Remember Felicia Combs? She used to work in the market here locally. She posted the overhead shot of when it looked like, you know, the conditions were right to develop these kind of tornadoes. And she just posted, I've never seen anything like this.
Oh, jeez.
Ever.
They even had the governor of, was it Nebraska?
Yeah.
I think it is, or is one of them said, Oklahoma, sorry, his name's Kevin Stitt. He's the governor there. He said, I've been in office for 6 years. I've never seen devastation like this before.
A lot of cleanup to do. Oh, I don't think they've even fully assessed all the damage. It was that bad. It was hearts and prayers out to those poor folks. Man.
I mean, you just lose everything. A tornado comes in and see you later. Bye.
Brutal. All right. Well, as we were a big story, especially locally here, was DeSantis going down to Miami to meet with Trump. So that led to all kinds of speculation. Oh, the unbeatable ticket. You know what? Most people who hated DeSantis for running against Trump, now they're saying, oh, he's the VP. He'd be the best.
It's like, come on, huh?
But
boy, as they say, these strange bedfellows.
Maybe he's moved up a notch in the bedfellows department because looks like Kristi Noem's out.
Well, what is wrong with this woman? Okay, she's got a new book coming out, and, you know, it's called No Going Back. It's all about her life, things that have taken place in her life. I don't care who the heck you are, and I don't care how many animals you've killed or slaughtered or butchered or done whatever. You don't go back and admit to shooting your 14-month-old dog.
America will never accept that. It doesn't matter. Now, there are two issues here. It doesn't even matter what the reason was. The fact that you're talking about it in a book and put it in there, can't do it. I'll give you a perfect example. Just on a little news wire here.
Okay.
Here's the headline. Noem kills dog.
That's it. Done.
And that's all that's going to stick out to people. Now, why, if you don't know the people of this country well enough to understand that, you cannot be the vice president. You can't do it.
The question is, what publisher in his or her right mind, what what
right.
agent, what whatever.
Who's the editor?
Allowed you to not only put this in the book, knowing your political stand, but promoted it. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
So the book is called No Going Back, The Truth on What's Wrong with Politics and How We Move America Forward. Huh, sounds good. And here's how it works. Whenever you're getting a book out, they send it to all the media outlets and they, you know, to make sure everybody's got it in advance reviews. Well, The Guardian, no friend of anybody on the right, gets a hold of it. And of course, they pick this out. And they have people on their staff, probably some intern that says, hey, we just got this. You have to read it over the weekend. They said, oh, I think we got something here. And it's the story. It's terrible, too, because of the dog. What makes it worse is the dog's name, Cricket.
It's like, come on.
Cricket was a 14-month-old dog that Kristi Noem says had attacked some chickens and had nipped some people. So,
was deemed, by the way, quote, less than worthless.
And untrainable.
Okay.
14-month-old dog. Now, the backlash was hot and heavy, obviously, as you can imagine. So Christie comes out and puts this on X yesterday. I can understand why some people are upset about a 20-year-old story of Cricket, one of the working dogs at our ranch, in my upcoming book. And then talks about the book again, so it's all promotion. The book is about doing the hard things, good and bad days, painful decisions, and lessons learned. You didn't learn any kind of a lesson about how this is going to play.
No, because you're not very bright. I don't care how vicious of it could have been Cujo. Let's right. be honest.
Right.
And you could have said you shot Cujo. People are still going to hate you. All they hear is you killed a dog. Okay. Maybe they do things differently in South Dakota. I have no idea. But I have had vicious dogs. I have had bad dogs. I have sent them away to get trained. And if they were untrainable, then you talk about finding it a new home.
They could be rehomed.
Yeah. You don't talk about putting a bullet in its head.
No.
I'm like, come on. Are you kidding me?
And even, and again, I even see it as a separate issue. You don't have the self-awareness to know to keep this out of there. Well, I wanted to talk about the hard lessons. Not that one. Yeah. Sorry. Not that one.
Yeah. You know, talk you about a, if it were rabid and it had bitten 20 people, maybe you'd get away with it. I don't know.
Maybe even then. Like, you can't have people relate to shoot and dog. Can't do it.
Oh, and it's a very graphic description of how it all took place.
What is she thinking?
Apparently not much. But where was anybody around her that said, this is a good idea to put this story in this book?
A little self-editing.
Why don't we leave this out? You know, I'm going to go all my life knowing that she didn't kill this dog.
Right.
And it bothers me. I mean, and I've had a lot of stupid animals and untrainable and aggressive and whatever the case may be. I'm dealing with one right now, for goodness sakes. Hates men. So it's like, you know, you try to desensitize them against men and make them like men again. You don't take her outside and shoot her.
Unbelievable.
People are nuts.
I think she's off the list.
Jeez.
In way, way better news.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm pretty sure you didn't watch any of this over the weekend, but a lot of people did, apparently.
Oh, no.
So the NFL draft happened.
I watched like a little bit of the first night.
Yeah, you get highlights. It was Thursday, it was Friday, it was Saturday, and then it wrapped up. Well, now. ESPN, and it was on ESPN, NFL Network. It was, I think ABC showed some of it too, at least the first night. It did very well in the ratings. They expected that. What they didn't expect was this. The city of Detroit, and good for them. Remember I was telling you on Friday morning, it looked like they did a nice job.
Right. You were all, you know, appreciative of what they'd done and how great it looked and how the colors on the buildings and the whole nine yards. I was like, okay.
The city says,
okay,
if we got to go by them, it's all we have. It brought in 775,000 fans for the event.
Oh, my God.
Over 3 days. One night and 2 days.
That's incredible.
This is Mayor Mike Duggan. This is what he says about it.
I talked to more suburbanites this week saying we than I've heard in my lifetime. And that's a good thing.
It's interesting and important what he says there. Detroit is one of those cities. I do happen to know this. It's one of those deals where it's like, I'm not going into Detroit. Are you nuts? It's not like New York or Chicago or where you go in and go in for a weekend if you live in the suburbs. A lot of that doesn't happen in Detroit. Just doesn't. So to bring in people in there to see what, if they're trying to turn that city around, good for them.
He just did it.
They hit it out of the park with this. Good for them.
Wow. I can't. Is that like a record? Is that a record? Is that a record for the draft?
That's what they say. I was watching on
a lot of people
Saturday, like round six or whatever it is, the tail end of the draft. They were kicking it off, and they had some city official, not him, but come out and they say, today we're expected to break the NFL record.
Jeez.
Pretty amazing.
I thought, what was it, New Orleans? Is that who had the really cool one?
I think it was Nashville.
Was it Nashville?
Yeah.
Okay, Nashville. I remember watching that and saying, well, look at all the people there. And they're way, way in the back, and they got these big screens like Jumbotron set up everywhere so you can see what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, wouldn't you rather watch this in, you know, the comfort of your home? Apparently not.
I would. I don't know.
Do they have parties and stuff?
Yeah, all kinds of NFL experience things, which was, I'm sure, what brought, you know, kids and families out to this.
So it's like the Super Bowl outside the stadium.
Okay. Kind of. Right. And it's NFL money that goes into that. I get it. But it would be great to see Detroit turn things around. It really would.
Yeah. Poor Detroit. It's always picked on, you know, and it's lost to how many businesses because of the auto industry. And Yeah, they've been hit hard. Then they had that water scandal.
Yeah.
It's poor people.
It's maybe the start.
So hopefully something new. That's cool.
Hope so anyway.
And I was surprised, and we'll talk about it later, but the change with the baseball uniforms. And the only reason I know this is I've never heard anybody complain like you did.
I was like, oh my bad. God.
I was like, what is up? All these new stupidest things I've ever seen. It's like, apparently you weren't the only one.
Here, we can update people on that. You know what it took, though? Complete lack of sales.
Oh, is that what it was?
To turn this around, okay. They got to fix the problem. We'll tell you what that's all about, too. Some headlines as well. The update on the tornadoes in the Midwest. And what's going on with Trump and DeSantis? What's going on with Trump's New York trial, too? A lot coming up. It's next. The South Florida Morning Show. There's Jana, Bill. Welcome to Monday.
We certainly respect the right of peaceful protest. People should have the ability to air their views and to share their perspectives publicly. But it has to be peaceful.
John Kirby, Pentagon spokesperson over the weekend on the Sunday talk shows, talking about the campus chaos. Once again, riding the fence. He's a spokesperson. He knows how to play that game. But why him? Why is he making the statement? Nobody else did.
Well, that's because the administration, that being Biden himself, staying hands off. Mitch McConnell, the turtle, he made a comment yesterday on Meet the Depressed or wherever he was that basically said these college presidents need to get a handle on the situation. Well, they're not.
The silence out of the White House is deafening now.
Yeah, well, Biden's not saying anything. Harris is not saying anything. None of them. It's so you sent out the Pentagon spokesman. Like, the Pentagon has anything to do with colleges. I'm like,
he's probably
no sense.
The best spokesperson they have, though, in the whole administration.
You're probably
he really
right.
is. He's well, the smoothest.
Well, Antony's out of the country, so they couldn't send him, Bill, because he's negotiating hostages.
They can't say anything because these are the people, these are the voters they want. Young far-left libs.
Well, they found out in, I think it was UCLA, where they arrested like 200 people, that many of them, color us surprised, not students, brought in from the outside to create unrest. Same at Emory, the same at Harvard, the same at Columbia. I have lost all hope for that university. That president, that woman needs to be run out of town on a rail. She yesterday said, "Oh well, we're not gonna hold you responsible, and no more arrests. So you just continue to do what you do, you little camp, you know, with your tents. Stay for as long as you want."
Yeah, so they won.
I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
Well, what's the bigger win, the Columbia kids or the Harvard students? And they are students because those are the only ones getting into Harvard Yard. They tore down the American flag and they raised a Palestinian flag.
Isn't that great? And if you're
and they pledged to and happened at Columbia, Yale, and Harvard, the Ivies, they pledged an allegiance to Islam.
I like that.
Which is fine. Yeah. Do what you want to do religiously, but really, you're part of a cult at this point.
Yeah, well,
because we know the reason behind it.
Well, and if you're a Jewish student and you're on one of these campuses, how do you feel right about now?
Yeah. That you're paying for.
This is administration has got your back, don't you? I let me tell you how these people. How come we haven't heard of a mass exodus from all of these universities by these Jewish kids?
You're going to. I think you're going to. And the brand has been hurt for I think forever.
I think you're right.
People trying to tell me once this dies down, people still are dying to get into Harvard. Are they though?
No.
Because there's been now a call. It started at. I think it was UGA and Emory. It was the Georgia schools, but this will spread. They have student unions now asking for amnesty through to the local prosecutors. Please drop any charges so that they don't haunt us throughout our careers.
How do you like that?
Too
well, you know
bad.
What? Stop being a little cretin and you won't get arrested. You know, if you're standing there peacefully and you're saying, "Oh, you know, I'm pro whatever you're pro," you know, you're not screaming. When you start yelling, "Kill the Jews," things change dramatically.
Yeah, that's not the peaceful protest John Kirby was just talking about there. Nothing about that is peaceful.
No, and unfortunately, it has turned into that violent rhetoric on almost every college campus where there's a protest going on. These people are evil. This is going back, almost 100 years here. It's crazy. Stop it.
Hey.
Arrest him, lock him up, and throw away the key. That's what I'd do.
And keep an eye on, you know, if you're in charge of hiring, you have a law firm, you're a business owner.
Medical facility.
Keep track of who's coming into the workforce here. Were they any arrest records, disturbing the peace, anything from April of 2024, I'd take a real close look at that person to see what it is and what they're all about.
Yeah, because the odds are they're just going to create turmoil in your office workspace, to be quite honest with you.
Absolutely.
You can spot them a mile away.
Yep.
So, you know, you're right.
These records should stay with them forever.
Well, they're not nice people.
Well, you're telling me there's a change in baseball? Is that what you're telling me?
And the only reason... The only reason this story caught my eye is you came in a month or so ago, and you know, you're my go-to person for sports because I don't have a lot of people that are into sports like you are in my life. And you came in and you went, "Have you seen these new baseball uniforms?" And I'm like, "No, they're the ugliest, stupidest things I've ever seen. The letters are too small. They're see-through.
They're really bad.
The colors suck."
And they're made by Nike.
And I was like, okay, which is odd because if you look at the college uniforms that Nike makes, they're usually neon colors.
Right.
So apparently you weren't the only one, though, because...
No, everybody hates them.
Major League Baseball has now sent out, which was, of course, an inside memo that ESPN got its hands on. Bigger lettering is going to be put back on the jerseys. You said, though, it had nothing to do with the outrage from fans. It had to do with what?
Well, the players hate him.
Oh, okay. But you said no one was buying it?
For lettering in the backs, they're down to, like, dollar store level sales.
Really?
Oh, it's really bad.
Oh, well,
nobody
that had a lot to do.
Money speaks.
So the names are going to be bigger.
Yeah.
And those are going to come back, the bigger names. Mismatched gray tops and bottoms are going to be fixed. I didn't even know they had that.
I didn't know that was one either.
The see-through pants, that they're going to fix that one.
That is very noticeable. Just watching baseball games on TV. You can see the tucked-in jersey top in the pants.
Really?
Like, no one thought of this.
Hello? Okay. And the trend of the jerseys to collect sweat.
I don't know. Is that another one?
That's another one. So they said it at least at the start of next season, it'll all be fixed by then. But for right now, you have to endure what they have.
Oh, man.
I was like, wow, okay.
How do you get that contract and screw it up?
The same way they let Christy Noem release in her book that she shot her dog. It's the same people. I've come to this conclusion.
Nike?
Not very bright. I'm like, come on. You know, but in Major League Baseball, as in Christy Noem, how many levels of approval did you have to go through before they said that?
Exactly.
So anyway,
we'll give you the update on what she's saying this morning about that whole backlash.
Okay.
That and a lot more in headlines. Entertainment too, coming up in rapid fire.
There are two things that are absolutely true. Grandma loves you, and she would never say no to McDonald's. So treat yourself to a Grandma McFlurry with your order today. It's what Grandma would want. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Time for Jen and Bill's Rapid Fire on News Talk 850 WFTL.
Whole weekend of stuff to catch up on. Jen's got the first story. What's happening?
I love when stuff happens on a Friday and then it kind of dies before the end of the weekend. So I'm going to resurrect something. Former President Trump says he'll debate President Biden at the New York courthouse where his trial's taking place.
That's right. This came from Biden going on Howard Stern.
How do you like that on Friday?
He said, yeah, I'll debate him.
I'll debate. You know, Trump's been saying, I want to debate, I want to debate, I want to debate. Biden says he wasn't going to debate. Finally, on the Howard Stern show on Friday, as he was a guest, the president said, I will debate Donald Trump. Now every network in the world is vying to get that debate, but we shall see how long it takes before Biden actually agrees to a date. But Trump's
like, he won't
do
it.
No, I don't think so either. Trump's like, come on up here. I'll do it outside of the courthouse. It's like, okay.
Right here, right now, Joe.
I love this guy.
We'll do it on the steps. That's right. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
It should be interesting to see. But, you know, now you get really every news organization is asking for the ability to have the debate to televise it.
We'll get to some fun stuff in a second, but we got to get through this one because you're most likely heard a lot about South Dakota Governor Christy Noem over the weekend. You're like, what's going on with that? And there's a book, but there's a dog. And what's going on? You know, when you were out trying to have a life. Well, she's most likely probably out of the running for VP, and she was looking strong there for a while.
I think she's out of the probability of ever holding a political office again.
Here's why. Got a book coming out called No Going Back, The Truth on What's Wrong with Politics and How We Move Forward.
You!
She,
Not you, but her.
She wanted to write a story and talk about how it's important to make difficult, messy, and ugly decisions sometimes. Except when it comes to killing her 14-month-old dog named Cricket.
Oh, my God.
Now, separate issue here about whether or not you had to. Her reason for it was the dog had killed some chickens, had been nipping at people, this and that, whatever. In the book, describes Cricket as untrainable, and here's the one that really got you, less than worthless.
Oh, dear.
Okay, now here's the thing. This is what most people are saying, why she's out of the VP running. Maybe not even so much about the dog deal. You don't have the self-awareness to know that this is one of those tough stories you keep out of a book. Because when America hears dog and you shot it, you're done.
You're right.
It doesn't matter what the reason is. In fact, here's the headline that was on our newswire. Gnome shoots dog.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're done.
It's not. This is all anybody outside of her state or town is going to remember.
Yeah.
About her as she shot that dog.
Christy Gnome killed her dog. She shot him. Even Laura Loomer, and we all know Laura Loomer's a little, you know, wacky sometimes, said Christy Gnome admitting to shooting her dog just basically shot her career.
You can't.
You killed it.
You can't do it. You can't let that story out of the bag. And like you said before brilliantly, who's the editor? Friend? Husband, anybody who proofreader, anybody at the publishing house, anybody that said, you know,
let's put this in the book.
Christy, it's a strong story. No doubt about that. But how do you think this is going to play for your career?
This is nuts.
Here's the unelectable part to me. Let's just push aside the issue of what you had to do with the dog for a second. You're not bright enough to understand what the rest of the country would think about this.
She didn't know the room. Can't play the room. You don't belong in politics.
It's
I'm
absolutely
sorry.
You can't lead if you're doing that. You can't. Sorry.
Yeah, that was a pretty dumb mistake.
Boy,
she's history. Anyway, you know what also is history as of tomorrow? Open enrollment for the Florida prepaid college tuition plan.
Oh, that's right. It is tomorrow, isn't it?
It's the 35th anniversary.
Yeah.
And they say it's the lowest rates in 10 years. You can get a 25% reduction. If you signed up for a one-year university plan, what's 1 year? Who goes to school for 1 year? Well, I guess if you're
Does it include a trade school?
Yeah, okay. Well, this trade school or maybe like a phlebotomy thing or something like that.
I only went to 1 year worth of classes, but it was a 4 year.
You sure you went 1 year?
Well, I think all right, 9 months.
It, okay. It's only $34 a month. 4 year plan's $135 a month. Anyway, if you'd like to get one for your grandkid or your own child, myfloridaprepaid.com.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Entertainment news to get out of politics and all that stuff. Stones are back. The Rolling Stones kicked off their tour last night in Houston.
Oh, that's why Mick Jagger went to the Johnson Space Center.
Want to hear a little bit of it?
Oh, he was there? You good?
These guys are
last night?
Last night. These guys are octogenarians.
Listen how good they sound.
And apparently, you know, reviews from fans are the only ones that matter, not critics. They said it was a phenomenal show. Night one, done, in the books. And you're right. During the day, over the weekend, Mick went to the Johnson Space Center, posted photos of his visit. So maybe he's a big space guy. Put it on Instagram in front of the Mission Control Center.
Go inside a capsule and everything.
Space capsule simulator. And he posed with some astronauts. Pretty cool.
They sending him to space next, Captain Kirk.
Oh, that would be...
That would be cool. Maybe he'll sing in space.
And then Keith will come back and say, I've been in space for the last 40 years. I don't know, but they sounded good to me.
They sound just like him. Okay, one more quick story.
All right.
A gold watch worn by John Jacob Astor IV. Who is he? He was the wealthiest man aboard the Titanic. Sold at an auction this weekend for a record $1.485 million, breaking the record for any memorabilia from that horrific accident.
Wait a minute, this is one they dug up from the bottom of the sea?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was one of 1,500 people who died. I have no idea.
Can you imagine that? Takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
It was really pretty. It was like a pocket watch. It was very nice.
Takes a sinking and keeps on tinking.
And wow.
How much is it going to go for?
It went for almost $1.5 million. It broke the record. There was another, you know what else sold?
It's no Casio.
The valise that held the violin that went down with the band leader.
Oh, yeah.
That sold again. It's for $1.7 million at the time. So this it was this at the time was worth 1.7, but it didn't sell for that much. So this one beat it.
Such a tragic but momentous occasion in history. Even the expressions that came from that, and the band played on. That came from the Titanic. Unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yeah, because wow. She was on one of the lifeboats.
Unbelievable.
And that, it really is. It's terrible. So anyway, but somebody has $1.5 million they paid on a watch. Well, must be nice.
Must be nice, all right. Hope they got the water out. That's all I'm saying.
Stop.
I would have been negotiating. You know, this is used.
It looked beautiful. Yeah. So I don't know how they restored it, but it looked really nice.
I don't know. All right, coming up next, we got some sound, and it's terrible sound from these terrible tornadoes over the weekend in Nebraska. These poor folks, man. Oof. But there's a miraculous story. A guy's house in Omaha, it was destroyed. He got back to the house and the news crew was there. He wasn't there because he had to go out and buy some hot dogs.
I love it.
It might have saved his life. He thinks so anyway.
Isn't that amazing?
God.
Good for him.
All right, that and some more headlines. It's all coming up next. And what's the latest on the college campus chaos? We'll find out. Keep it here. The South Florida Morning Show next. Welcome back in for the weekend. The South Florida Morning Show. There's Jenna, Bill. Welcome to it. Now, remember on Friday, you were talking about Southwest Airlines?
Yes.
And you said, boy, there's a rumor out there they may be adding maybe a first class section, and maybe they're going to have all kinds of changes. I don't think those are the kind of operational changes that Jay Ratliff is about to tell us right here, but they may have to do something because they're losing some money.
Now boarding.
It's Flight 850 with aviation expert Jay Ratliff on News Talk 850 WFTL.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are cleared for takeoff.
Is it also, Jay, the reason they announced, too, on Friday, Bill, Southwest, that they were not going to fly into certain cities anymore.
Right.
So maybe that's all part of it. So, Jay, is that the reason Southwest is not going to these airports anymore?
Yeah, in fact, a $231 million first quarter loss, Jen, for a company that used to make a lot of money.
Wow.
Is ushering in some immediate changes. And the first thing is that they're freezing their hiring right now. Two, you're right, they're going to have a reduction in service to some cities, and part of that is a delay of the Boeing aircraft that they were expecting this year. But, you know, they're going to stop flying to Cozumel, Syracuse, I think Bellingham, Washington, and a surprise for some was the Houston Intercontinental Airport in Houston. You know, they it's a smaller operation compared, obviously, to what they have in Hobby, but they're cutting back flights in Atlanta. I think they're going to cut half their flights there. They're cutting a third of their flights at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. And they continued saying, look, we're going to have 2,000 fewer employees at the end of the year. And they also went on talking about perhaps a change in their seating process, which is long overdue. But back to that 2,000 employee reduction, Southwest has never laid off a single employee ever in the history of their airline, ever, ever, ever. In fact, when the pandemic hit, the big question was, look, all these airlines are laying people off. Is this going to be the time when Southwest is actually going to lay off their first employee in face of this pandemic that we're facing? And Southwest went to their employees saying, look, we don't want to lay anybody off, but if any of you want to take an early retirement to make room for the newcomers, guys, they had 20% of their workforce step forward and take an early retirement to make sure no single employee got laid off. So jeez, it's going to be interesting to see if they're going to have people volunteer to leave, voluntary leaves or what. But back to the seating process, it could be that they look at saying, you know what we're going to do is we're going to do away with the open seating process. We're going to go with an assigned seating process on Southwest Airlines, which would be a huge change, and I think it's overdue for a couple of reasons. One, this wheelchair garbage, this crap of people saying they need a wheelchair to get on a plane but not to get off. We have 40 or 50 people.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, the Jesus flights, we get it, yeah. You need three on the other end. But the other thing is Southwest can make money if they assign seats and charge for some of the premium, what we used to call window and aisle seats, on an aircraft. And when you're talking about seeing how much other airlines are making money doing something like that, Southwest could simply say, look, we can't change the way we board an airplane with a lot of the stuff that's going on with the wheelchair stuff. So we're going to unfortunately be forced into assigning seats. And that way you don't have to rush to get on a plane. You don't have all this stuff where, you know. Now, the only problem with that is you board in zones on Southwest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's times you can pay money to get on the aircraft earlier by, you know, paying extra dollars. You get to go in a sooner boarding zone. So the airline would have to make sure that one offsets the other, that they could still make money doing it. But right now, everything's on the table for Southwest. And it's unusual to see this airline talking about this many changes.
I always kind of like their boarding. I definitely use JetBlue more than I do Southwest, but I've been on plenty of their flights. I always kind of like that.
I feel like a cow.
In the old days, when they first got started, this was the process. If you checked in first, you boarded first.
Right.
If you checked in last, where you could possibly delay the aircraft, your butt's getting whatever seat's left over. But unfortunately, as the years went by, they started implementing some of these zones where your frequent flyer status could get you here and pay more money and get you here. So they've really gotten away from the purity of that initial boarding pass, which I agree with you. I absolutely love. If you're the first person to check in, guess what? You get the pick of any seat on that airplane.
But
if you're the last one, you get whatever's left.
But what you're saying is it's not the way, at least I remember it. I guess I haven't flown it a while on Southwest. It's not. They kind of ruined it. So it actually is assigned seating now. It's just in a larger group.
Right.
Well, that's it. By zones, get on there and take whatever seat's left. And you have people holding seats and other things like that. And some people blocking off seats until they see somebody that they want to sit next to them. And all of a sudden, you know, that seat's available. So it creates so many operational challenges for flight attendants and for trying to get that airplane out on time that it's difficult right now for Southwest Airlines. And I tell you, they're at a point right now where they just gave their flight attendants and their pilots some very nice, long overdue contracts that are current. They're not flush with cash. They've got to find ways to get back to making money as they used to. And to have this Boeing issue hanging over their head, where they were expecting a lot more airplanes where they could take advantage of a very lucrative and busy summer travel season, they're not going to be able to do that simply because of the fact that day one, they made the decision they were going to be Boeing and only Boeing. And now, sadly, you know, even though that's made them a ton of money over the decades, right now they're paying for it.
Without a doubt. Okay, so does Delta not pay enough because they keep losing parts of their planes?
Well, Jen, let's quickly say this is not part of the ever-growing Boeing bucket. We can't, even though it's a Boeing aircraft, the fact that an emergency slide falls off the outside of a Boeing aircraft
not
doesn't
good.
Make it. It's more of a maintenance issue on this Boeing 767 than anything. But, Flight 520 left Kennedy. They were headed for L.A. Crew discovered a problem with the right wing emergency exit slide. Yeah, it came off. They had an unusual sound near the wing as well. Pilots declared emergency, came back and landed. And after it landed, they found out that emergency slide had, as they called it, separated from the plane. And this has happened before. We talked about this last July when we had that United Airlines flight that we had the emergency slide that crashed into a home in Chicago.
That's
and we also had another Delta flight in 2019 lost emergency slide as well. So I can only think of this is the third incident in the last, you know, 5-6 years. So it's not an epidemic where you have to worry about running to your car looking up to make sure nothing's falling on you from an airplane.
Well, Jen looks anyway.
Look, if an airplane's going over and I'm playing golf, I look up to see what kind of flag.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did it land on anybody?
Jen, and I'm sure this is outdated. They were still looking for the slide the last time. I'm sure they found it now. They actually had a thing go out that said, if you happen to see this, let us know. I'm sure they found it, so forgive me for having a lazy weekend and not diving deep in the weeds here.
That's okay.
I'm pretty sure that they – but you can Google images of these emergency slides of ones that we've lost in the past.
Great.
And they come down kind of like an accordion. And then when they land, it's just kind of a ball of stuff. But, I mean, it's some significant weight that, you wouldn't want to be there when it landed.
Well, I did because now it's a new pool slide for me, so thanks.
There you go.
Well, you could run out under it. I'm not suggesting you do that.
No.
Go, oh, my leg. Yeah, exactly.
No.
The emergency slide falling off, at least it's not a door plug. Well, it seems like an upgrade for these days. All right, pal.
Speaking of 737s, I got to throw this in. Ryanair, the European discount carrier, they don't have a frequent flyer program. And the CEO for Ryan is very outspoken. They asked him why you don't have one. He says, if you want loyalty, go get a dog. We're not having a frequent flyer program.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty pointed.
Yeah.
I guess he could be our next president.
Got his point across.
Get rid of all the seats on airplanes so you can stand up.
Okay. Yeah. We don't like him.
Lavatories on an aircraft.
Yeah.
All right.
No thanks.
Where do we get more Jay Ratliff online for this stuff and for some day trade fun, too, before we talk to you in a week with God knows what else is falling off airplanes?
Jeez.
I'm telling you, keep your eyes pointed upward to the skies. Yeah, if I can help anybody that's having problems with airlines, past or current, please reach out to me. I'll be happy to help you so we can hold these airlines accountable.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Thank you, pal. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Hey, we'll get to the story about the terrible tornadoes in the Midwest, especially Nebraska, Jen, coming up next. But that amazing story of a guy that he didn't lose his life, but he did lose his house because he went to the store to buy some hot dogs.
Thank goodness.
And that and more coming up next. The South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here.
It's the South Florida Morning Show with Jennifer Ross and Bill Adams on News Talk 850 WFTL.
Wow. Semi's overturned up here.
Hey, let's get up to the sky real quick. I got the med kit in the car. If you need it, put it on your hazard right now.
You guys will help.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh my God.
He's okay.
Okay, granted, those guys are storm chasers, and they kind of look for this kind of stuff to get some great footage, but still, it gives you...
Crazy.
Even if they were horrified by some of the stuff they saw. I just saw something, heard something awful in our ABC News break just a couple of minutes ago.
What's that?
In that area of Nebraska and a couple of surrounding states, they had 130 tornadoes touchdown. 130.
Oh, my goodness.
Granted, not all of them as big as what caused the destruction, but still.
You know what? You just look at, was it last year, the year before? Maybe a couple of years ago. Remember the one that touched down in western Delray?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't even an EF1, and look at how much damage it did.
Tore right through.
So you can't tell me this one that blew through this poor town in Nebraska yesterday wasn't an EF4, if not. That big, maybe bigger, who knows? It destroyed that whole town.
Unbelievable.
It's just terrific. And I don't know how much warning you get with a tornado. You know, if you listen to Twister, what did they say by the end of the program when they were running the little, you know, how much advancement has been made with tornado warnings? I think they said 7 minutes, 8 minutes you got. That wasn't very much time.
Especially if you're on the road, like I'm sure a lot of these people were that they came across. I don't know.
And if you live in that part of the country, okay, say I moved to, you know, Nebraska tomorrow or Oklahoma, I wouldn't have a clue what to do in the event a tornado was coming, other than go to the basement, like they say. But, I mean, if you're on the road, where do you go?
Oh, what else you can do, really? You know, isn't that the most horrifying thing?
Yeah. I mean,
you're at the mercy of nature.
What if you can't turn around? What if you're like on I-95 and you can't pull a U-turn? What do you do?
Possibly the only thing is to do what this guy did.
What was that?
Somehow, some way, don't be at your house when it's getting destroyed. Pure luck, happen to go out and buy some hot dogs.
Oh, come on.
That's the only reason why he's alive, he thinks, because his house is gone.
Oh.
By the time he came back from the store, came back, the news crews are there, and he's talking to them.
You know, I was at the gas station getting hot dogs, and it saved my life. So hot dogs saved my life. You know, count your blessings. Be glad there's no fatalities in the neighborhood, I heard. And family's safe. Stuff can be replaced, but family's everything.
That's in Omaha.
Jeez.
Now, that should tell... Now, a quick trip to the gas station or the convenience store to get hot dogs, that should tell you that he had no warning. Wouldn't have left.
Right. You know what? And how far away... If you're going to the convenience store, the odds are it's convenient, let's be honest. So
close,
it can be maybe within 3 to 5 miles, you know, 1 to 5 miles from your house. You're not going to travel 20 miles to get to a convenience store. So it shows you just how particular these stupid tornadoes are. Just go down a street and, you know, leave the rest of the town alone.
Yeah, is that scary? Huh?
It's, yeah. But I put the video up. It's on our blog and it's on our Facebook page, so go check it out. It's horrifying to watch these things, though.
In other news, let's go to the swamp for a second. The White House Correspondents' Dinner was over the weekend.
Actually, you know, that Colin, how do you say his name? Jost. He's married to somebody famous, too. He was pretty funny.
He was okay. He took some shots.
I was kind of surprised.
A lot of it bombed.
My weekend update co-anchor, Michael Che, was going to join me here tonight,
but in solidarity with President Biden, I decided to lose all my black support.
Wow. He's married to Scarlett Johansson, yeah. By the way.
ScarJo. So Mr. ScarJo.
I was thinking, but that was only one of his little zinger jokes. Any joke he made about Joe Biden, he got booed.
Well, yeah, because they're afraid to laugh.
I'm like, come on, that was funny. You know?
These are the compromised propagandists in the room who will lose their jobs if they dare say anything against the Democrats. So they're just like,
and if you're within view of the president, you have to do that because then he'll ban you from the White House press room.
So now this is a little different. This is what met everybody. This is the exact signage that was across from where they were having the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Okay.
Ready for this? Mm-hmm. And the giant banner, and I mean giant banner, that was written across this. Said this, Biden's legacy is genocide. So you're pulling into this thing, and you're the president. This is what you hear. This is across the street. And the street's not that big. You can't tell me they don't have a problem here.
Well, when they send out John Kirby, the Pentagon spokesperson, to make a statement from the White House about what's going on these college campuses, that again speaks volumes. There's nobody from this administration that's directly involved with the administration. I don't see Kamala Harris making a comment.
They won't say anything because they can't say anything because these are the voters.
Wow.
Young, angry leftists that they've been courting for 3.5 years now, and now they've turned on him. What do they do now?
Okay, so let me ask you this. What about all the Jewish people that support the Democratic Party? I know a lot of my Jewish friends are very much Democratic. They're not changing for any, reason. So what about the Hollywood elite, where half of them are Jewish, that support the Democratic Party? Are any of them saying anything?
They're not saying anything, but I think it's turned. I really do.
Do you really?
It would be impossible for Jewish Democrats to look at these college campuses and somehow try to blame Trump for this one. No, we're too far away from that.
Well, how are you going to blame him? I mean, he had nothing to do with any of that. They'd figure out a way.
Silence is deafening out of the White House. They've said nothing.
No. And all Biden has said is, you can't have this happening on campus. This has to stop. Okay, well, do something. Make a statement. Tell Columbia University or anybody, fire these presidents who have no control over what's happening on college campuses. I'm telling you, if you took Jewish student away and replaced it with any other factor, they would have shut these campuses down in a heartbeat.
It's insane.
It's ridiculous.
The organizers aren't even trying to call them peaceful anymore because they know. Because when these organic chants of kill the Jews starts, and Hamas's next targets with arrows pointed on signs, no, nothing too peaceful about that.
These are lunatics, and they are crazed people. I'm sorry, they need to be locked up and the keys thrown away if you think like this. And the problem is there's a lot of them.
These conventions this summer are going to be fun, huh?
Oh, wait. Chicago. Oh, wonderful.
Summer's just heating up, baby.
That's coming. That's right around the corner, May's Wednesday, and that's in June, isn't it?
That is insane.
It's really
insane.
This
summer is just going to be nuts.
They better stop these. I just feel bad. The only what I think this administration is waiting for? Graduation's right around the corner. So it's all going to stop.
That may be it.
And that's what they're waiting for.
They just want that to go. These kids have to go away.
They got a couple of weeks to wait, and then it's all over. Or in many cases, they're just canceling, graduation.
They just want to ride it out, not say anything, to not offend both sides of this who they're courting, and just play the wait game.
I think Joe's afraid AOC is going to show up at the White House doorsteps and, beat him up.
Oh, she says these are very peaceful.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where she's looking.
Well, she's a dummy.
She never was very smart.
In way better news, City of Detroit is celebrating this morning.
Yeah, you know what? You said, because you are my sports connection, let's be honest. When you watched the opening, you were like, oh, my God, Detroit did a great job. It looked beautiful. There were a ton of people there.
Now, according to their numbers, broke all kinds of records. We'll see. But regardless, good news. Boy, if that city turns around, that's a great thing for America.
Yeah, you know what? You think of all the crap poor Detroit's put up with.
Oh, my God.
And they're always the brunt of every joke. So hopefully it'd be nice to see that city make a turnaround.
All right, we've got that. And not so good. Turning around in the wrong kind of way for Kristi Noem.
She's done.
I think she's fallen so far down off the VP list, it's off.
I think she's fallen down on the political list.
That really could be.
I think she's done.
We'll tell you why. It's all coming up next. The South Florida Morning Show. Welcome to Monday. There's Jen. I'm Bill. Keep it here.
There is no crime. Wow. And if it's Donald K., they can go after you tomorrow and your relatives tomorrow for something that isn't a crime. That's why every American, whether you're a Democrat, should be opposed to what's going on in that Manhattan courtroom. It's a scandal.
Happened to catch that over the weekend. That was Alan Dershowitz, legal expert. He's a constitutionalist. Just going off. That's the most worked up I've ever seen him. He was talking to Maria Bartiromo about the whole Trump thing. And he says he can't figure it out. He doesn't know exactly what they're even after is how convoluted this case is.
It's kind of scary. It's and then again, and most of the witnesses are people who are serving prison time. So do you believe anything they say? Let's
That's
be honest.
True too.
You know, Michael Cohen's in prison for how long for, you know, how he embezzled things and did, you know, unscrupulous things as an attorney. He's your main witness at this point, or the guy that used to run the National Enquirer. Okay. We all know, and I'm not ragging on the National Enquirer. I got many great headlines from that magazine or that newspaper, but still, how many of those stories were like, okay, take it with a grain of salt? Is it really true? Probably
not. And if you followed
not.
This, the first day he was on the stand, he said, yeah, we've paid for stories that we killed about Trump. We've paid for stories that made him look bad, too. Shouldn't that be it?
Yeah, well,
it should be over.
I don't get what Alvin Bragg is after, other than, like Trump said, this is just to keep me off of the campaign trail.
Well, it's working.
It is for a little bit, because then he goes back on the campaign trail the minute he has a day off. Like yesterday, he was here and he met with our governor, but still, he's getting business done. He met with the president of Poland. He met with the prime minister of Germany. I mean, he's meeting with all these people.
I love those international meetings at Trump Tower. I love that. He's making it like the Manhattan White House.
It is. And, you know, and all the killer is, the funniest part is, all of these world leaders are responding and showing up with the assumption that he's going to be president again.
Oh, yeah.
They're not showing up just for, you know, the free food.
So there's a day off, apparently, in the Manhattan courtroom today. You don't know what's going on with that. But to that meeting, just heard in the ABC News report a couple of minutes ago, DeSantis asked for the meeting.
Oh, really?
That's what they said. At the request of the governor, met with Trump in Miami.
Well, maybe that was part of the deal to get Trump to show up.
Oh, that could
you
be.
Have to show remorse and kiss the ring. Now, in this case, he made him grovel and then kiss the ring.
It's a Godfather meeting.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
I don't know. I don't know. It's raised all kinds of speculation about a Trump-DeSantis ticket, if that's even possible. But I'll tell you what's not going to happen. I am very confident it won't be Trump-Kristi Noem. And she had been top of the list for a lot of people before this weekend. A lot of people.
I will be shocked if she retains any political seat after her run as governor is done.
So you were out and about trying to have a weekend, and you heard something in the background about Kristi Noem, South Dakota, a dog, a book. What's going on there? Well, here's what's happened. She does have a book coming out pretty soon, an upcoming book that she says is all about her life, how she had to make tough decisions in the past. It's called No Going Back, The Truth on What's Wrong with Politics and How We Move America Forward. Good enough, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, my question when I saw that title was, what's wrong with everybody who's around you?
Publicist.
Editor.
Husband.
Kids.
Anybody.
Friends.
Anybody that
enemies.
Read this thing. Anybody that can get into her ear and say, listen, it's a tough story. It makes your point, and it ties back to the title, but America will not accept a story about you shooting a dog. It's not going to happen.
I don't care. Unless the dog was in extreme pain from a horrific accident, maybe then you could get away with shooting a dog.
And that was not this case, because little 14-month-old Cricket was just an incorrigible dog. Less than worthless is the description in the book.
Okay, great.
And untrainable. Had, I guess, eaten a couple of chickens. Maybe bit somebody. Maybe nipped at somebody. I don't know what the deal was. But she killed it.
Even the Bidens, who've had that horrific dog, Major and Commander, or whatever the hell their names were. How many? The first one we heard about bit 6 Secret Service agents. The second one bit like 18. And they didn't even put that dog down. Never mind shoot it in the backyard.
See, I think it's even gotten to a debate away from whether or not she had to. I really don't. To me, all I can think of is, if you don't know how America is going to respond to this story, if, as you said, if you can't read the room, you can't be the vice president.
How dumb is she?
You could barely be the governor of South Dakota. Sorry.
I agree with you. I mean, if you didn't realize that this was going to hit a nerve with everybody, even dog haters probably hate this story. You just don't take, you know, I got a psychotic animal now. I've had psychotic animals in the back that were abused, and it takes extra time to get them to, you know, accommodate people and get acclimated.
Oh, yeah.
I never in my wildest dreams ever thought of shooting a dog, ever. Maybe putting one to sleep, an extreme.
But again, like you said, to get, take it out of pain.
And that's it.
That's not this story.
You know, I asked one of my dogs when I was little, got kicked by the horse and it had tremendous damage. And I begged my father to shoot it. My father wouldn't. So I had to rush it to the vet. But still, it didn't make it to the vet and I didn't think it would. But that was the only time I ever thought of putting an animal down like that. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? This was a normal animal.
It goes back to this, though, what you said. Who are the people around her? Like, who's the publisher that says...
Or the editor.
Hey, just, you know, or the publisher actually probably wanted the story in there and maybe was pushing for it. It sells books in a sick kind of way. But her advisors? Did anybody know this story was in there? America is going to hear. Because we are what we are. We love our little animals, right? All people are going to hear is Kristi Noem killed that dog.
Yeah. She shot a dog, not killed it, shot it.
And named Cricket.
Oh, poor little
thing. It just makes
it
sound even sadder.
I got a cat named Cricket, actually.
Oh, my God.
But I was like, come on, you know? Look at what happened to Michael Vick. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, that's true.
Never quite
recovered from that.
He
story.
Never did. Although when he showed up here, he was like the second coming of the Lord.
That's
but that's
true.
Besides the point.
God.
I was like, come on. Not a good move on her part. Just not a good move at all.
You can't do that and be vice president. I'm just saying.
Can't do that and be the governor. I got news for her. She's done.
Maybe.
She's
all right,
done.
We got rapid fire coming up. We'll get to the feel-good story about Detroit and the weekend they had.
Oh, good.
They're all excited about that. We'll talk about that, some other headlines too, and maybe some more Rolling Stone stuff coming up in rapid fire, and it's coming up next. The East Florida Morning Show.
Time for Jen and Bill's Rapid Fire on News Talk 850 WFTL.
All kinds of stuff happened over the weekend. Let's catch you up. Rapid Fire is here. Jen's got the first one.
Oh, I forgot all about it. How do you like that? Blue Origin. This is pretty cool. We've been waiting for this flight. It was supposed to take off on April 4th. In the event you don't know, this is like SpaceX's competition. This is Jeff Bezos's little rocket project.
Sure.
Okay. And if you
he loves it too.
Yeah. And if you go to the Kennedy Space Center, it is either SpaceX or you will see huge, huge warehouses that say Blue Origin on the outside. Well, what's way cool is now they're highlighting the astronauts that are going to be on this next six crew flight, which they still haven't quite figured out when it's going to take place. But one of them is 90 years old. Edward J. Dwight Jr. was the first black astronaut candidate. He was recommended under the Kennedy administration to launch years ago on another space flight. And for whatever reason, he got bumped. I don't know if it was because it was his expertise wasn't needed for that flight, whatever the case may be. He will get to go aboard Blue Origin's first crewed space flight to the moon. Or
that's
around the moon.
Awesome.
So
what a wait.
Yeah, they're not. He's been waiting forever. But 90 years old, and this guy is going to be up there. I'm thinking, it's called the New Shepard is what the name of the ship is. So it's pretty cool. He was sponsored by Space for Humanity, a nonprofit with a mission to have access to space for all humanity. So that's what he's representing. Good for him.
Not for nothing, too. But, I mean, you know how old guys are. You got to have purpose and drive. It's going to keep him going.
He's 90.
He's 90. This will keep him in shape.
Isn't that amazing? And he does not look 90 years old at all. I mean, he looks great. So whenever the Blue Origin gets New Shepard off the ground, he'll be on it with five other people.
Okay, now, when that guy's done, I think we found the next candidate who would be perfect.
Who's that?
Who knew Mick Jagger is such a space enthusiast?
I did not.
Now, they're in Houston. We'll have some sound from that for a moment. The Hackney Diamonds Tour has kicked off. He posted photos of his visit to Johnson Space Center in Houston on his Instagram account.
That's pretty wild.
He was in front of the Mission Control Center, inside a space capsule, posed with some astronauts. Had a great time, he said. He's always been into space. Who knew?
Well, you know what? He may well... Who was the one that sent Shatner up? It wasn't... Was it Blue Origin?
I thought it was Blue Origin.
Oh, no. You know who it is? It's Branson's.
Oh, okay. Right.
It's the other billionaires. Yeah. It's like they all got into rockets at
some
once.
Some rich guy.
It was like, what's going on? So maybe... And his is more like a balloon kind of thing. So maybe he'll go up in one of those.
Yeah. Jagger can sit in Shatner's seat.
Yeah. It just goes straight up and then straight down.
Now, the Stones kicked off the tour at NRG Stadium. It sounded like this. Just from last night.
That's amazing.
Sounds good.
It's up on our page, on our blog, and also on our Facebook page if you want to go check it out. He's 80 years old. He runs around better than most 50-year-olds I know. That's incredible.
He looks a lot. He got really wrinkly really fast, so now it helps him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't look like he aged.
I was just said to you off the air, I said he looked like he did 20 years ago because he does. He looks the same.
Fan reports from the show last night said it was phenomenal. Well, set list was great. They sounded great. Energy level was up.
June 3rd, Orlando at what? Camping World Stadium. So
good for them. That makes me feel good.
I think their tickets still available. I don't know how good they are, but there are tickets available. Hey, can we take the stairs in the morning or are they locked down around here?
Quite often we have to because the elevator doesn't always want to work in this building.
But traditionally, it's when we're going down, not up.
That's true.
A new study finds that taking the elevator might be killing you. Researchers looked at the health records of almost 500,000 people. That's a lot of people. The ones who regularly took the stairs instead of the elevator, far less likely to die young. Check this out. They were 39% less likely to die from cardiovascular disease and 24% less likely to die from any other cause.
That makes sense.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a 39, almost 40% less likely.
It tells you, too, you don't need all that much cardio to make a huge difference.
Yeah, just walk up the stairs.
Yeah, or run.
Does it make a difference to how old you are? It doesn't say that, though. So, like, if I started taking the stairs, well, I got a new heart, so.
Oh, you're fine.
I've been rebuilt.
Oh.
I'm refurbished.
You got, you know, you got 20 years to go before you have to get in shape.
God. I'm just saying. Okay.
We said before we ran out of time that Detroit is celebrating this morning. Now, why? Well, because they had the NFL draft weekend. We know that much. Not only did they have themselves a weekend, they had, according to their numbers, and confirmed by the NFL, 775,000 fans for their event over the weekend, over one night and 2 days.
One night, 2 days?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
The mayor, his name is Mike Duggan, he says it was unexpected to draw that many people, but they were prepared for it. Here's the first part of what he said.
The idea that we would smash all the NFL attendance records never crossed my mind, but it's been a spectacular team effort.
Tanya, it looked good. Looked like everybody was having a good time. They bring in that... I get it. It's NFL money building the stage and everything.
Yeah,
I understand
but
that. But still, they were able to accommodate way more than what they even expected.
Well, and the NFL does the same thing in every other city, so why was Detroit so different?
I guess just excitement. I don't know.
No, that's the question. Yeah, it's because they had a lot of people in... Where at Nashville? Where was it?
Yeah, New Nashville Orleans. Was the previous record. So, that was awesome. That did look cool.
It's pretty cool.
He made really important point here, though, in the second part of what he said, because this is not like, you know, tourist cities where people in the suburbs, I know Boston's like this, New York, Chicago, you go into the city for fun a lot. The people mm-hmm. That's not always the case in Detroit.
No, no one goes downtown.
But it brought people in.
I talked to more suburbanites this week saying we than I've heard in my lifetime, and that's a good thing.
That's a really good thing. If that city can turn around and bring the surrounding areas into it, refurb... If Detroit made a turnaround, that's an amazing thing for this country. We need it.
I think it'd be great.
Middle of America.
Yeah, you know what? They've had some hard times. And they had that old water crisis, remember?
In Flint, yeah.
Finally, those people finally went to prison, but that's besides the point. Well, good for them. This made me very, very happy. I love the first two films. Anne Hathaway is hinting that a third Princess Diaries films is on the way.
Oh, cool.
It was good. It was. She starred, if you did not know, alongside Julie Andrews, who looks fabulous at her age, in both the first and the second. The last one came out in 2004. So we shall see. But she was hinting that Julie Andrews would be on board for this one as well. So I don't know where she's got to be married in this one. Not Julie Andrews, Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, wasn't that the Chris ending Pine. Of the second one or something?
Oh, that's what introduced Chris Pine to the world.
Yeah.
Was that film.
That'd be good things for her career, too, because she's done so much serious stuff.
Yeah. It was a great little, you know, run there. So I would watch it. Yeah. I think a lot of women would watch it, too. It was a big hit.
In the world of the swamp and lawfare and all that other stuff, it's a day off. You're not going to hear much from the New York Lower Manhattan courtroom in the Trump so-called hush money trials. I don't know what they're doing behind the scenes, but it's not a busy day. This is why it would be so tedious and monotonous to be on a jury.
Oh,
God,
I know.
Just sitting around and doing nothing.
Just imagine if you're sequestered. Oh. Then you're really sitting around doing nothing. You know, people, you got in a hotel. You get hotel food. You can do whatever. No, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Not me.
No, that would be awful.
So, is Trump going back? He must be going back today because he was here yesterday.
I think he still has to be there. I don't know.
Interesting.
We'll see. All right, coming up next, a couple more headlines. How did the White House Correspondents' Dinner go? And you may have had a tough week last week. At least you didn't get a tax bill for $34 billion.
Oh, my. Can you imagine?
This was a guy in Pennsylvania. He's got a good attitude about it, though.
Oh, God, I'd die.
All right. That and a couple more things to wrap up Monday. It's coming up next, the South Florida Morning Show. There's Jenna, Bill. Keep it here. Thank you for hanging out with us this part of Monday. When you get into work, or if you're there already, waste your boss's bandwidth. 850WFTL.com. We got the morning show blog on there. We got, tragically, some of the details from those Nebraska tornadoes. Just horrific. Every time I look at this footage, it's unreal.
What even surprises me more are people are that insane to get that close to a tornado.
Oh, I know.
I know. I think, you know.
By choice.
You see it spinning, and I'm thinking, well, how far out do the winds, like, expand? You know, I mean, I understand that if you're caught in the funnel, you're going to get sucked up. But
right.
You can't tell me it's not 90 miles an hour, like 50 feet out, 100 feet out. So it just incenses me that people get this close. So that was our not so great video. It's pretty intense to watch. But the good one is the Rolling Stones last night. Where were they? Houston?
NRG Stadium in Houston. So it was an inside stadium. And they're coming to Orlando, I think it's June 3rd at Camping World.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only Florida date, but just following up on some of these rock sites, not the critics, who cares about them? The fans and what they're saying about it, they were actually there and watched it. They said it was great. Yes. It's only night one, but I mean, the set list they loved, energy was awesome, everybody sounded great. That's, I don't know, it gives me hope for rock.
Well, it gives me hope for getting old.
Well, that too.
Mick Jagger's 80 years old.
And remember, this is a tour sponsored by AARP. It finally happened. We got a rock tour sponsored by the old people group.
I could have actually gotten a discount on tickets because I was a member, but that's besides the point. You could be a member, too, by the way. You're old enough now.
No, I'm not. When do they accept?
50.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, bummer. I was so happy. I got like a year to go. Damn it.
Now you just made it, but that's okay. Anyway, they sponsored it. But I think there's tickets available for the Orlando one. But and I said off the air.
I said, 55.
No, it's 50. Well, I'm pretty sure it's 50. But anyway, did I ruin your day?
Yeah, I think you did.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Well, I took might all be these segments. It took until the last segment.
I might be totally wrong in making that up. Just
no, you
to
might
make,
be right. I think I remember them.
Didn't she start getting stuff in the mail?
Yeah, lowering. Well, I ignore that.
Oh.
Okay. You know, you get
they're usually right all over you.
It's got my name right on it. Well, that's not for me.
You know, it's and just an aside here, if you're not a member of AARP, they have a magazine that they deliver once a month or once every couple of months. And every time it shows up, like Sly Stallone was on the last one. I mean, it's like all these famous people, Liam Neeson.
Oh,
I'm
you
like,
wait.
Someday
you're going to get this to your house. You know who's on the cover? Justin Bieber. You wait.
Oh, it's going to happen.
The young, when Taylor Swift is on the cover of that AARP magazine. You wait. It's coming.
You're in trouble. But anyway, it's nice to know there's many famous people in the same crowd. It makes you feel better.
All right. We're waiting for something else too today. We don't know what it is. They just keep on sending out teasers. Universal Orlando is up to something. Now, we know they're building the big Epic Universe park. They're set to share its summer 2024 plans today. Having for weeks now, this is what they've been doing. Teasing Jaws, Ghostbusters, Jurassic Park, and Back to the Future on social media. Now, those are the classics.
Yeah. So the question is, are they going to build, is one of those parks all encapsulating, and maybe that's what it is?
Yeah, I don't know.
I was really bummed when they took the Jaws thing away. I love that Jaws thing, that stupid ride.
Oh, it was a classic. Like, why couldn't they keep Back to the Future, too?
I
love
that.
That
was another one. So
Universal just doesn't mess around. They're like, oh, get rid of it. Move it.
Well, they should get rid of that Jimmy Fallon thing. I'm sorry.
I hate that thing.
Everybody, I don't know anybody who likes it.
No, I know.
Everybody who goes on it says it's terrible. So hopefully today we find out what their big plans are, which would be nice, which would be even better, is maybe they'll give us tickets to give away.
We'll see.
That'd be nice. Are we done? Is that what you're trying to tell me over there?
No.
Okay, good.
We got some time.
Okay, I was just wanted to make sure.
So we'll tell you the sad, sad tale. It's actually not. It's funny because his attitude about it. You know, you may have gotten a pretty bad tax bill this season. No, you didn't get one for $34 billion.
Not like this. But you know what? I think it's one of those things that it's so astronomical and it's so ridiculous that you know it has to be a mistake.
Oh, and he knew right away. He's in Pennsylvania, and his name is Barry Tandruff. Two pieces of tax information. The first one was great. Got a refund check from the federal government. That was for $900.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank cool. you.
And then in the same mail delivery, he gets the second one and he opens it up. He owes the state of Pennsylvania $34 billion.
See, now my take on this would have been, oh my God, I owe $3,400 that they just added too many zeros.
Exactly. 34 something. It could have been 34,000.
And I would have been panicked at that point.
Right. And who wouldn't be? But he knew something was going on earlier this year. He had a tax preparer who he needs to fire, by the way, who noticed a mistake on his 2022 return and filed an amendment. This is Barry talking about it.
I knew it was an obvious blunder. I don't even make over 100K a year, so there's no way I could owe anything near that. Well, the first thing he said was, you had a good year. And I said, I wish.
Took him a while. He got through to the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue, and they said, I love it. They always have to come up with some generic answer.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's an isolated incident, and the wrong numbers may have been inputted. You think?
Yeah, think like maybe 10 extra zeros that you just got stuck on or whatever the case may be. It's like, come on, please, would you? It's ridiculous. But good. Fortunately, they made sure that he didn't have to pay that bill. Can you imagine?
No, I cannot.
Wow. That's crazy. By the way, just a quick reminder, open enrollment for the Florida prepaid college tuition plan ends tomorrow. They say it's 25% less than what it used to be. It's a reduction. 4-year plan costs you right now for a newborn about $135 a month, which is very affordable.
It's great to save that. Put it aside.
Yeah. And if you don't use it, you get it all back. Not with interest, but you get whatever your initial investment was, you get it back. And if you want to be rich in the state of Florida, according to a new poll, you have to make at least $477,000 a year.
Well, there goes the prepaid plan.
I was going to say, I don't qualify. That's right. Anyway, we're out of here. Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. We would love to see you then. Thanks for listening. Take care.